I was battling a little bit of water, you know, not feet of water or anything like that, just a couple of inches tops. You know, we were trying to obviously sweep it and get it into a sump pump and get it out. But I had a couple of sump pumps in my house that were running nonstop, and it was a cleanup. And then finally, you know, by about Labor Day, we got everything cleaned back up like it was before.
We were hampered for 10 days out of our home, and we had to take a boat. I went to the home, and we got clothes so I could go to work. And we stayed with friends for 10 days, and I learned never to put a couch in a basement. We seriously just hooked it up to a truck and took it out of the front door. We happened to have stairs that went straight downstairs to our basement from our front door.
I still remember calling up Jerome Carroll Skinner, my boss, and saying, I won't be at work tonight. And we had a class reunion that night, 20-year class reunion, I believe. And they're like, why? I said, well, if you could get to my house, you'd understand why. It's plumb full of water. So, but they were great about it, you know. But, that's something that you want to try to forget, but you never do. Three of us basically slept on lawn chairs in our garage to make sure the pumps kept running and move them when we had to. And that's because we couldn't go anywhere with the water until the water receded and because there was no place for it to go. So once that happened, I got the pumps in there, started pumping water out. You know, it took a long time. Then the real cleanup came. Going in and ripping walls out and, you know, tearing it straight down to the studs is what we did.
The amount of water that it sat, it was up to the rafters, so everything was soaked to the gill. We did not find any dead fish, but there was fish swimming in the basement.
And then the real excitement, you know you've been in a flood, when the real excitement is that the sanitary sewer begins to work and it starts to suck the minnows back down the floor drain.
It was like a community cleanup week on steroids because people had insulation, old furniture, boxes. I mean, it was just whatever was in the basement was gone if you had anywhere near the creek because the sewers backed up, which filled up the basements. You know, it had nowhere else to go, and water goes to the area of least resistance, so it goes into the basement. And a lot of people, you know, nobody had time to get their stuff out.
The main store, we threw some bags in front of the doors. We only had a trickling of water came in through the back warehouse door, but our gas station had approximately 3 feet of water in it. And those two semi-trailers that we used for storage, you could barely see air underneath the depth of the water from my deck looking over there. The water was rushing so strong that my neighbor had a car, the neighbor to the east, parked at the curb. That ended up bobbling its way over to Campbell's parking lot. And our tanks, storage tanks, ended up, we found those as far as south, out by the near the water treatment plant, and all along the creek. Fence posts were all over. We gathered those up. We did have a lot of volunteers help us chase stuff down.
The Red Cross was phenomenal with their food wagons coming by and their cleaning kits and a smile and everything. And then I don't think I've ever seen the community unite because, I mean, you could go four blocks away and you'd have never guessed anything was wrong. You know, but right through that area where that flood hit, it was just pure and complete devastation.
Well, we left it for a few days because if you'd have pumped it immediately, the walls would have probably collapsed, so we waited till we pumped it. Then we had relatives came and helped clean up what we could salvage, and we just aired it out, dried it out with fans, scrubbed and swabbed it out. That's about all you could do with it.
The sheriff advises onlookers to stay out of the way of emergency officials, and Lurie said people should stay away from Lake Herman and the flooded areas of Madison, and he asked people to not become a part of the problem by getting in the way.
A yardstick on the other side of the house on an I-beam, and it was 11 inches on that yesterday, and we don't know how high it is now. All was said to me yesterday, have you cried yet? And I says, no, what can you do? You just can't, nobody can believe it until they would see it. And we don't need people coming down and seeing it.
Silver Creek, which is in the southern part of Madison, that is much higher now than it was yesterday. And as we said, the Gale Road is underwater. Washington Avenue by the Pomida store is underwater. That's impassable this morning. As far as the Memorial Creek through Madison, there are some roads passable. Fifth Street over Memorial Creek is open. The creek is running bank to maybe just a little over bank full. Memorial Park is pretty much water this morning, but the bridge on Fifth Street you can get around in Madison. Yesterday I tried to get to my home, which is only 3 blocks away here from the KJAM studios, and it took me 9 miles to get home.
Bernie Skirman's dentist office, which is just a half block down the street, has the basement flooded, and the resident that lives in the basement did escape without injury this morning after friends woke her up and got her out of the apartment safely. Although dental records and some things like that, Bernie Skirman says, are still around, some damage was done to his dentist's office on the ground floor level, but the resident did escape, and that's some damage reports we have this afternoon.
Well, we just did what we had to do to try to keep the water from getting into our home, and there's nothing else we can do. With this kind of current and this force of water, there really isn't much you can do but stand and watch it.
The city of Montrose is feeling the effects of the torrential rains in eastern South Dakota. Grocery store owner Ellen Head, who is also a member of the Montrose Fire Department, said flooding of the nearby Vermilion River at Montrose is contaminating wells in the Montrose area. Nearly 100 people have been evacuated in Montrose. Held said persons should not drink the water in Montrose and should avoid using the sewer. The eastern and west branches of the Vermilion River came together close to Montrose. Head said the bridge on Highway 38 over the river is now underwater. That was at 2 o'clock this morning. That story was typed at 2 o'clock.
And, well, more rain in the forecast for today. Scattered thunderstorms becoming windy. Southeast winds increasing to 35 miles per hour with highs of 88. Chance of rain is 40%. Tonight, thunderstorms are likely, so keep that in mind.
The National Severe Storm Center is expecting a widespread outbreak of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes over the northern plains this afternoon and tonight. All of South Dakota, except the extreme western part, are included. The tri-state area around Sioux Falls is also included.
An apparent tornado last night in that windstorm that came up late last evening. An apparent tornado was in that windstorm. It caused extensive damage west of Chester. It was the second major storm to hit Lake County on Saturday. A reported twister completely destroyed a home on the northeast side of Brant Lake and partially destroyed another. An occupant in one of the homes sustained minor injuries, and for the second time this year, the Engelkiss farm was damaged by severe weather there by Chester. According to Beverly Engelkiss, a barn was completely destroyed as strong winds hit that area last night.
A big dark cloud come up here, and then the wind started blowing real hard, and we jumped up, and it come through the house here. We shut windows, and then we looked out the window, and the barn went right over to the southeast, or no, northeast. And it's all laying on the ground. Part of it, the front of it's still standing, but so far we still got electricity.
The Engelkisses also sustained damage earlier this year in another tornado. As we said, that storm that passed through Madison last night dropped another 0.8 inches of rain. That brings our total 24-hour rainfall to 5 inches and 65 hundredths.
Miles City, Montana called us and called Mayor Borchardt because they wanted to give a month $25,000 to Madison.
Somebody from, I think it was Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, I mean, they would get nor'easters, you know, occasionally, and, you know, bad storms and water and surge, and, you know, it's a beach community on the East Coast. They called, and they got a hold of us at the radio station, and they did some kind of a little fundraiser out there because they heard about Madison, South Dakota. And, of course, they thought, I think they thought it was part of the Mississippi flooding at the time, but, you know, flooding's flooding.
The Montana, they also had, in the fall, they had a truckload, a semi, they called me, and they said, we have a semi of clothing that we want to send to you. Where did people store their Christmas decorations? Where did they store their winter clothes, their mittens and boots and gloves? In the basement. All that's gone now. So people are going to forget about the flood and forget about everything, and then come October, go to get their tree, go to get their boots, and it's all gone. So those were some of the unmet needs that we were addressing in July that we knew we would have come wintertime or Christmas or whatever.
Interesting thing, a terrible thing for the community. Lots of property damage, but the miraculous thing is that no one died in it.
Officials at the Madison Community Hospital reporting only a couple of minor injuries due to the flooding. That's certainly good news. Administrator Dick Socup says a couple of people were slightly injured while assisting others in the flooding. And Socup says that employees are staying at the hospital in case of further flooding developments. He called the event so far a disaster.
Lucky that nobody died. That's the amazing thing, that nobody died with all the basements that caved in, people that were sleeping in their lower levels, that type thing.
You know, fortunately we haven't had anything like that as bad, but whenever we get heavy rains, yeah, it still runs through the mine. We go check the creek, see how high it is. You know, but thankfully we haven't had that, and hopefully we never do again, because that's just... anybody that ever lived through it will still remember that day, you know.
Well, anytime we'd hear a heavy rain, we would get up and we'd begin to monitor the cracks. I mean, we just would go down and watch to be sure that, you know, it wasn't coming again, et cetera. And
the one thing I do remember is, you know, when it would rain after that, a person almost had a little bit of PTSD. Like, you got a little bit anxious, you know, you'd hear it start raining hard, maybe weeks or months from that, and you'd start to think, I don't know why, but I'm really anxious. So I think it was a little more traumatic than we probably even understand.
We lived in it for a year, and FEMA left that option open to you for a year. So I interviewed with the city several times, and then they sent in an appraiser to appraise what the house was worth. And then we did sign papers to sell it to the city.
We were there for another about 2 years, I believe, after the flood. We fixed everything up, got the basement back to the way it was and that. And then I believe it was a year after the flood, we had another heavy rain. And back in our backyard is where the two creeks met, Silver Creek, and then the one coming from the north side of town kind of joined behind our house. And it was really a flat area, so it flattened out quite a bit. So we thought, yeah, it's time. So we put our house on the market, and then we built the first house up by the grade school. So we were fortunate. We were up high. That made my wife feel very, very happy that we were away from water until the snows hit, and then it snowed from the ground up. So so it was, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another, but.
This is Looking Back, the Flood of 1993. As we get ready to conclude our program, Madison Mayor Roy Lindsay looks at the efforts that are being done and have been done to mitigate future floods.
Flooding is always a consideration. We never know when it's going to hit, but we do know that it will. Whenever we do have the heavy rains, the bridges and the railroad bridge are monitored to make sure that if there's anything in there that is going to restrict the flow of water, then that we want to be able to remove it as soon as possible. The more the city can control the area along the banks of the creek and allow areas of expansion without restriction, it does lower the cost of flood insurance for those people who purchase it. And our Public Works Department does a great job of monitoring the creek, cleaning out the creek of trees and debris that would restrict the flow of water. So the creek is cleaned from the north end of town all the way through the south end of town. There are things that people ask that we are not allowed to do by the Department of Natural Resources or the Corps of Engineers, and that is we can't lower the depth of the creek, especially along where the rock wall is, because then the rock wall would settle down and sink down in. Madison has retention dams. I should say Lake Herman has retention dams west of Camp Lacodia. And the intention there was twofold. Number one, it would catch the sudden flows of water and hold them back at a slower pace so sediment can drop out, and then it allows the water to leave at a metered rate that can be handled by the creek downstream. And so there's a number of sedimentation dams around Madison that really did help the town. And it was after the 93 flood that we started requiring developments to put in retention dams. So if you look at the Williams Addition that's north of 9th Street on the west side of town, there is a retention dam there that all of the surface water from that area drains into that and then is metered out, you know, gradually, you know, to flow through town. So the purpose there is they're dry most of the time, but in those heavy rains like we had on that morning of in 1993, the other thing that we have to keep in mind is that we also have neighbors downstream. So even though we can get the water into town, you know, and through town, if we get it through town faster, then we create issues and that for the people further downstream and even those people at Lake Madison. Because Lake Madison can get water into it faster than the spillway can get rid of it. It would be great if we could put 15th Street across from Washington Avenue to Highway 81. Not only would that provide a north road that would access the city of Madison, Dakota State University, Madison High School, and the northern part of town to access to Highway 81, but when that road would be built, it would also do the same thing Highway 81 does at the west end of 9th Street. It would create a retention dam that would hold water back, you know, in the hard rains and meter it through town. If and when that does occur, and that would be a definite benefit to the citizens of Madison, it may also remove homes that are currently considered in the flood zone. It may take them out of the flood zone because we would be able to then know the quantity of water that could pass through the town at any given time.
As we conclude our program, we share one last story from Jim Iverson of Madison.
We had no office for the Red Cross. So here we're into July and August, and they had a truckload of comfort kits and stuff that they were going to leave us. And they said, well, where's your office? Where's your headquarters? We'll leave it. We don't have an office. We have no building. We have no place. So they left it at Bethel. So I went to the post office to get a P.O. box. Leslie Schaefer on the board, while I was gone, got an email. I guess it was actually fax probably back then, from the Red Cross, that we had been assigned a national disaster number, a DR number. And it's DR179. And I looked at my P.O. box. It was one P.O. Box 179. That makes you kind of think. And but that was the flood of 93.
Looking back, the flood of 1993 on KJAM has been brought to you by Farmers Ag Center of Madison, Complete Septic Service, First Madison Insurance, East River Electric, Helena Chemical, the Madison Regional Health System, Timber Supply, Mustang Seeds, the Lake Area Improvement Corporation, the Madison Volunteer Fire Department, and Winter Incorporated. Stories were shared by Rod Goldman, Roy Lindsay, Roger Olson, Jim Iverson, Dean Garrels, Doug Spielman, Vicki Walters, and John Goman. Recorded audio from KJAM provided courtesy of Kelly Woman.